Father, we thank you today. We thank you that we can be vessels for you. We thank you for those that you have chosen to work among us and to point us back to you and to lead us in a way that is pleasing to you. We thank you for men like Samuel, and we thank you for parents like Hannah and Elkanah, both of whom love you. And in her anguish and in her grief, she came and she laid her petition to you, and your answer was Samuel, who would be one of the men that you would use to make a big, big difference in Israel at a very, very pivotal time in her history. We thank you for this man. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from him. And we pray today that you will let us know that as you worked in Samuel, you are desirous to work in each of us. Take now your word and use it for your purposes and your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Samuel is born at a very pivotal time in the history of Israel. We know the story of how God called Abraham. Then we know the story of how the Israelites, 70-some of them, moved to Egypt in the days of Joseph during the famine, and we know they were there about 400 years. We know the story of how God brought his people then out of Egypt with great signs and wonders at the end of that 400-year period. We know that they wandered in the desert for 40 years, not because that was God's best plan for them, but because they had a lesson to learn. And then we know how God used Joshua in order to actually lead them into the land and conquer the land. And that's what we talked about last week, and how God used Joshua, this man of valor, in order to accomplish that task. And by the time Joshua passed away at age 110, the people were well settled in their land. And God had basically then at that point fulfilled what he had promised to Abraham all those years earlier, that God had said to Abraham when he just lived in that land as a stranger and didn't own a square centimeter of it. He said, I'm going to give this whole land to you and to your descendants after you. And then after the death of Joshua, there followed a period where there was no appointed leader. And the people of God, you know, they would stray and they would get into disobedience. And then when they got in a real bind, a lot like a lot of us individually, then they would cry out to the Lord, and then the Lord would raise up somebody, a Gideon or whoever, and he would anoint them and lead them into battle and rescue the people. And then they would usually return to the Lord and serve the Lord for 20 or 40 years, and then they would relapse and lapse back. And that's what the whole book of Judges is. And so the book of Judges basically picks up where Joshua leaves off, takes you through 400 and some years there. And the more that period went, the more apostate the people became. And so by the time Samuel is born, things are in a sad state. The man, the priest, he's a good man himself, but Eli has a couple of rascal boys. And of course, the priesthood is a generational thing. It's the tribe of Levi. It was passed down. And they were, as some use the ministry today, but they were absolutely abusing the post of minister. They were making a mockery of the things of God. And Eli was too weak to correct them or to kick them out or whatever. And so things were just in a sad state. But this man, Elkanah, who was an Ephraimite, he had two wives, and one had no problem having children, and the other, Hannah, could not have a child. But the big problem was that Penina, you ever known anybody by that name? Penina would rub it in to the point that Hannah just would dissolve in tears. And this special festive occasion, where once a year they would go up to the house of the Lord, and it was to be a time of praise and worship and thanksgiving, and it was. And And you know, but during that time especially, Peninnah would just make life impossible for Hannah. Now, it would have been possible for Hannah to get very bitter. She could have blamed God because he wouldn't let her have children. She could have blamed her husband because he wouldn't keep Peninnah off of her case. She could have blamed so many things. She could have been a bitter woman. She was in bitterness, but she was not a bitter woman. And how many know there's a difference? There's a big difference. And the difference was that Hannah did what we need to learn to do. She took her stuff. Where did she take it? To the Lord. And this day she's down there and she's in the Lord's house and she's praying fervently from her heart, and it says her lips are moving, but you can't hear what she's saying. She is barely whispering, and she's saying, Lord, if you'll look on my situation, if you will remove this from me, if you will allow me to have a child, I will give that child to you for all its days. And she made a vow before the Lord, and Eli's watching her and makes a mistake of thinking she's drunk and rebukes her. And she says, oh, no, my Lord, you're not looking at a lady that's had too much to drink. You're just looking at a lady who has a heavy heart. But after she prayed that day, she had a peace. Has that ever happened to you? She had a peace. She didn't sorrow anymore. And a couple months later, she turned up pregnant. And guess what? They didn't have ultrasound. But when he was born, it was a boy. Bingo! Prize! And she says to Elkanah that time, she said, now that's all right. I want a weaning first. Right now, me and the baby, the Lord hears, Samuel, we're going to stay here. And then when I do go up with him, that's when he's staying. He's going to stay at the Lord's house because he's going to be given to the Lord's service. He said, anything you say, Hannah. So that year, he went without her. And then when he was weaned, and they didn't wean him real early from what I hear back in those days. He might have been a couple years old. He was weaned. Then they went up. They offered the sacrifices, and then she says to Eli, sir, I'm the woman that was here praying that day. This is the answer to my prayers, and we're giving him to the Lord's service. We want him to stay right here. So from the time he was just a little guy, Eli made a little ephod for him, a little linen thing, and he lit the candles, and he opened the doors, and he, you know, probably carried wood, and he did the things of a Levite, even though it says his dad was an Ephraimite. He, maybe because he was a Nazarite, that little phrase, no razor will touch his head, that means he was a Nazarite. He was totally given over to the Lord. That was part of the vow. He's allowed maybe to be an honorary Levite. Anyway, he's raised in the Lord's house. How many have heard the story of when the Lord first spoke to Samuel? How many? Did you hear it? Did you hear it when you were in Sunday school? How many times did the Lord call him? Huh? Three. And that's because he didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. So he would get out of bed. He'd say, Eli, you called? Eli said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. But the third time, Eli realized what must be happening. So he said, if this happens again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the Lord proceeded to tell him how displeased he was with what was going on with Eli's sons and the judgment that he was going to bring on the whole house of Eli because of their wicked deeds. Next morning, Eli says, Samuel, what did the Lord tell you? Samuel, I don't think wanted to tell him. He said, you must tell me, and you must tell me all of it. So Samuel did, and he said, well, it's the Lord. What can I say? May the Lord do what he sees is best. And, of course, if you read the chapters following these first couple of chapters there of 1 Samuel, you'll see what happened after that. And how the word of the Lord did come true. But that was the beginning of God's working in Samuel in the prophetic way and speaking to him about different things. And this is something that would follow Samuel his whole life. The Lord would speak to Samuel, and then Samuel would deliver the word to whoever it was. In the case of Saul, to an individual, other times to the whole nation. And we read that little part there where it says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. So he was just a boy. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And that's because Samuel only spoke what the Lord gave him. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba. Now you'll see that phrase as you read the Old Testament. From Dan to Beersheba. Dan is way up north, almost to the Syrian border. And Beersheba's way down in the Gaza area near the Sinai border. So from north, the northern point to the southern point. So when you're reading the Old Testament, you see that phrase. That's what that's talking about. Recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Now, if you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and take the notes, and very often you will find, I don't know that they're expanded this time. Yeah, I think they are a little bit. Very often you'll find expanded notes on SNCCC. .org or .net after Bill Malone has posted them there. Sometimes it's a few days or a week. But let's look at a few observations here from the life of Samuel. Number one, Samuel was born in answer to a mother's prayers. When she wasn't even a mother yet. I think Barbara read some books by Stormy or Martian. What's the name of it? The Power of a Praying Woman. The book had a profound influence on Barbara's life. The Power of a Praying Woman. Now there's the Power of a Praying Man. But God works through us differently. He just does. Does God hear the prayers of women? In the Old Testament times and in Bible times, you know, women, it's thought, were, you know, marginalized. And there were places they couldn't do and things they couldn't go. God heard Hannah, didn't he? God has always heard the prayers of a woman. So if you're a believing woman, if you're a Christian woman, you should also be a praying woman. Maybe a baby isn't what you need. But there's got to be something. And if there's nothing you need, there are people around you that have needs. That's called intercession. And we often mention the proverbial little old praying lady. I tell you what, demons tremble when those little old ladies are on their knees. I read a book one time by a guy from, I think, rural North Carolina. He said those guys that were making the illegal liquor and everything, he said they would tremble every time those little old ladies would get down there in that little country church and start praying against their stills, because every time they would break down. But Samuel was born in answer to a mother's prayers. And what a gift. What a gift God has given Israel, and what a gift God has given us as we read about it. And what a gift to the nation of Israel. And what a gift to Hannah. Because she what? She prayed. She didn't mumble about her situation. She didn't complain about her situation. She didn't go around blaming everybody and all upset and mad at everybody. She took it to the Lord. And she prayed with faith, and she prayed with fervor. What does it say in the book of James? The fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Is that what it says? Fervent prayer. And God honored those prayers. He knew her heart. If she had had a bunch of bitterness in her heart, he wouldn't have heard that prayer. And she wouldn't have had Samuel. Number two, Samuel was consecrated to the Lord before he was ever conceived. There is one for you for the abortion argument. Had Samuel been aborted, they would have been aborting that which had been consecrated to God. There are those who say, it isn't a life, it's just tissue. No, it isn't. From the moment of conception, everything is there. And God, of course, in his knowledge, knows about it even before that. He says to Jeremiah, I had already selected you, ahead of time. But he was consecrated to the Lord. Consecrating our children to the Lord, we have baby dedications. We're going to have one here soon. It's a good public act, and it's a good thing to do, and it's good to do. But the real consecration of our children is done in the prayer closet. And the real consecration of our children is done in our day-to-day living, not through some ceremony. And he really was consecrated to the Lord. It wasn't somebody saying, well, I've given my child. No, no. She really did consecrate her child to the Lord. Totally, wholly, unconditionally, intentionally. And I could spend a while on this. Folks, we don't have time. But that is an absolutely important thing that we do as Christians. So much of what we do is custom. Time to baptize the baby. It's time to dedicate the baby. It's custom. Listen, the real consecration is in what we do on a daily basis. And Hannah had that. Number three. Hannah poured her whole self into Samuel from the time of his birth to his weaning. In this, she was like Moses' mother, Jochebed. Secular humanist psychologists even recognize that the most important and impressionable time in the life of a child is ages 1 to 3. Oh, but they can't talk to me. They can't this. They are absorbing everything. Did you hear me? Everything. I have been told, listen, that baby, when that baby's born, if it's raised in China, it will learn Chinese and learn it without an accent. If that baby is born in Asheville, North Carolina, it will grow up speaking English with a North Carolinian accent. The same baby. Absolutely nothing but a sponge. I've been told, and I believe it, that if you totally withhold touch from a baby, you can meet every physical need he's got by way of, but without physical touch and love and hugging, that child will not thrive. We are so quick in our society today to dump our children off at a very early age for somebody else to look after. I hope I'm not going to step on too many toes today. But we are very quick to do it. And I recognize that sometimes it is not possible to avoid. But let me tell you something. The most important time in the life of that child are those first 3 years, those first 5 years. And mommy's job especially, and especially if she's able to stay home, is to pour herself, if she knows the Lord, into that child every way she knows. Love that child. Talk to that child. Read to that child. Sing to that child. And it will last a lifetime. Things are absorbed during that time that the child later won't even be able to explain why they're reacting the way that they are. Why they are staying right when all the peer pressure is to do wrong. And even if the home situation changes later and there isn't that same thing there, something was put into that child during that time that will never go away. How many have ever seen cement dry? Have you ever tried to write in it with your finger after it's dry? You better do it while it's wet. And during the first 3, 4, 5 years, the concrete is wet. It made a difference in Samuel. She didn't have him anymore once she took him up there. Oh, but it all stayed. She saw him once again. It all stayed with him. And Moses, Jochebed knew, I've only got him for this period of time. But at age 40, he's like, I know I'm not one of them. And I know that ain't right, and I know God must want to deliver his people. Now, he didn't have all the facts that he needed to do it the right way, but it was there. That, I believe, is because Jochebed had him for that period of time. We'll go on. Number four. Samuel was left at an early age in the house of the Lord at Shiloh, to be trained by Eli. So once she had done her job, he's in the house of the Lord, he's being trained. and he's learning the things of God, and he's learning to love the things of God. Let me tell you something. If you don't bring your little ones to church regularly when they're a little kid, they'll never love coming to church. They might not anyway, but they definitely won't if you don't bring them when they're little. And I said bring them. I didn't say drop them off or anything we want our children to learn and grow accustomed to. When they're little, that's when we learn that stuff. Oh, I am so glad my parents did that for me. When I was little. And for my brothers. It starts early, folks. Number five. The Lord began to work in Samuel at an early age. He might have been 12 years old when the Lord spoke to him that first time. That's how old I was when the Lord started dealing with me direct. Up to that time, he worked in me through my parents, through the things that I'd learned. But at about age 12, it started being me and him. And that's how that works. So Hannah did her job, Eli did her job, and then at about age 12, the Lord started dealing directly with Samuel. And then he went on from there. If your child, if the Lord is not working in your child, if the Lord is not dealing directly with your child by about age 12, you'd better intensify your prayers for that child. Because statistically, I know Barna is quoted a lot, but he'll tell you. Sometimes somebody later comes back as an adult or whatever, but they are few and far between. And what is greater? 40 years old, I did every ungodly thing there was, and praise God, he reached down and saved me and delivered me from my alcohol and my drugs and all this other stuff I was doing. Or the Lord worked in me, and even as a child, I loved him, and I've been serving him my whole life. Which is the better testimony? So, start early, folks. Those of you who have children, start early. Because you are preparing that ground for the Lord to start early. And if there has ever been a time when there are outside pressures in the life of a child or a young person, what do you think? Isn't it almost overwhelming now? Almost seems to be. So, even more so, as much as we can do, Lord, by your grace, by your favor, as much as we can do, we're going to pour ourselves into our little ones. Number six. We're moving quicker now. Samuel never wavered in his personal commitment to the Lord. He never went through a stage of rebellion. He never went through a stage where he said, I wonder if I really believe all this stuff. It was just straight ahead. I heard it said that Samuel and Joseph are about the only two Old Testament characters of which nothing negative is ever said in Scripture. Even Moses messed up one time, and there is something negative said about that. But Samuel never wavered in his personal commitment to the Lord. Number seven, Samuel was faithful in his service to God's people. Number eight, Samuel never failed to accurately pass on the word of the Lord as he had received it. Whether it was to Eli the night of that first encounter, whether it was to the people of Israel later when they asked for a king, whether it was to King Saul after he failed to be fully obedient in every single case. He did it with caring, he did it with compassion, but he did it with brutal honesty. And he never failed. Sometimes we hold back a little bit because it's somebody we care about or we love. Keep loving them. Keep caring about them. But if it's God speaking, we had better pass it on just the way he gave it to us. That is one of the most fundamental rules for anyone who is engaged in sharing God's word. We must pass it on without compromise as the Lord gives it to us, and let the results fall where they will. Number 9, Samuel was a pivotal leader at a pivotal time in his nation's history. He was the last of the judges. And he is a type of Christ in his multiple offices because he was prophet, priest, and judge. And these are all offices that the Lord Jesus Christ occupies. Number 10, the key to Samuel's fruitful life was his early start. Now, I know that some of us didn't have the advantage of an early start in the things of God. The Lord doesn't love you any less. He won't necessarily use you any less now. It's not your fault. It's not your problem. It's not something you did. But I will say to those who have children, by God's grace, pour yourself into those children. And if you're grandparents and you have the opportunity to do it, what should grandparents do? Pour themselves into those grandchildren. Sometimes grandpa and grandma have a little more time than mom and daddy. So while you're spoiling them, and you're giving them that cookie or whatever, but use the time well and use it to instill the things of God. This will pay enormous dividends for both now and for all eternity. And later on, we will all have plenty of time to celebrate together. Amen. Amen. May the Lord use his word today according to his purpose. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. And what can we say, Lord? You've given us the knowledge. You've given us the experience to walk with you. So, Lord, just help us to be careful to pass this on, and to share this with those that it needs to be shared with, and those that it needs to be passed on to, and save us from being so busy that we don't have the time to do that, and that other concerns somehow seem more important. And we promise ourselves that we'll do better next month or next week or next year. But Lord, help us to make the most of each day. And knowing that every day counts and every day is an important day, as we, Lord, pour ourselves into our children, and along with ourselves, that treasure that you have put in us, and which we cannot find anywhere else, because it is in your word, and it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to make the most of the time, because the day our evil. Use your word, we pray, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.